All right, welcome to episode one of our Hygiene Edge podcast. Today we are meeting with Jessica, who is a member of Hygiene Edge, and we are talking about how she became a president of her local component. So welcome, Jessica.
Thanks, Shelley.
a couple of questions that I have for you to answer today is maybe, first off, tell us when you became the president of your local component.
I became the president of my local component very measly 2 years after I graduated from hygiene school. And I think I became the president because it was not a secret that I enjoyed being involved and I enjoyed being in positions where I learned and met people and was able to influence others. So I was approached by the current president and was asked if it was something that interested me, and I said yes.
And so they nominated you, and it was a vote.
And they voted, and I became the president.
And you became the president. So I feel like this is a scary position for a lot of people because you have to do a lot of planning of events and activities and.
I kind of looked at it in the sense of I got to do what I wanted to do. I had a really great core group of support, my treasurer, my president-elect, everybody who worked with me were really helpful. So I really didn't feel like the workload was crushing. We did a CE course quarterly, and that I think you can make it what you want it to be. And for me, I just wanted it to be an opportunity for dental hygienists to get together and to learn and to connect, network, and improve on what they were previously. So I think as a component president, I'm not sure. My state component really didn't give a lot of expectations, and I really appreciated that because I got to create what I wanted it to be.
So how much time do you think you spent either weekly or monthly working as the president, I guess?
Oh, just a few hours. I don't even know how to quantify that. Like, it wasn't, we had meetings, and our meetings were usually an hour to two.
Monthly?
Monthly or bi-monthly, like, we would, most of our stuff we did online, through email. Mm-hmm. And then we would meet after our CE meeting, so we weren't taking a lot of time away from families. So we'd have our CE course, and then after our CE course, we'd meet, make sure we were all on the same page. Because I really do find a value with face-to-face communication. Mm-hmm. But between our face-to-face communication, everything was manageable online.
Yeah. So as you're talking about that you prepared some CE courses, what do you think was maybe your favorite CE course that you planned? The one that was most successful, that you had most feedback from, that hygienists actually really enjoyed?
I think one of my favorites, was getting the local schools involved and doing their table clinics, giving them an opportunity to present their table clinics to working hygienists. I really loved that one. I don't know if that was necessarily our greatest turnout. We had one on humanitarian opportunities that was really awesome, that we had a really high turnout. And that's like a passion of mine, so I really enjoyed it. But the CE courses that I love the most are when people are able to interact or take away something that they didn't know before.
Okay, good. What do you think maybe was the hardest part about being the president? What was something that you struggled with or that you saw in the component, maybe, that was hard for you to kind of swallow?
Lack of, guys, lack of membership in ADHA.
Yeah.
I'd have people come and pay $25 for a 2-hour CE, and because they were members, and I'm just like, you guys, just for not that much more, I know it may sound like a lot more, but you could come to these things for free or for what you've already paid, however you want to look at it. but also provide your profession with so many other benefits by being a member of the association. That was frustrating for me.
Mm-hmm. So, I hear a lot about the price of the being a member of the ADHA. It's $250. It comes out yearly. What are your thoughts on that price?
I don't know if you can really quantify or like put a price tag on having a voice. And for me, I had the opportunity when I was a student to be a delegate for District 10. And I didn't really understand at that time, obviously, as a student, what it meant to be a member of the association. And so I kind of went to the national meetings with wide eyes and an open heart and really realized that the things that our association does for us is worth whatever they ask of us. And to be honest, if we had more hygienists members of the association, I'm sure the price would go down. I'm just surprised how a lot of hygienists maybe want better pay or they want more flexibility in what they their scope of practice, but aren't a member of an association that can provide that. I understand that hygiene is a really great job for those who are working part-time or have something else going on more full-time in their lives that or maybe they're not don't feel as passionately, but to put your job on the line or the how we view hygiene now, like it changes every year. And that was the thing that surprised me. I'm like, people don't know that there are decisions being made that will impact you. And if you don't have a voice, you, when it finally comes down to you having a job or not having a job, or you being able to work where you want to, or not being able to work where you want to, then it will all of a sudden make sense why you should have been paying $250 a year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
there's some states who recently, some of the assistants can do super gingival scaling, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, I should have been paying my fee and maybe this would not have happened.
We've
lobbied differently for this.
Lobbied differently and protected your rights. And I think, I don't know. We're talking about money, which is funny because, you know, access to care or, dentists want to make a dollar as well and be profitable in their practice. If they can pay an assistant half of your wage as a hygienist to do most of your, you know, like if you're seeing healthy patients every day and they can do their super gingival scaling, you do not have a job or you're getting a cut in pay. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a real thing.
Exactly. So what is your, maybe what advice would you give to somebody who's considering serving in a leadership position? Because I feel like when I go to a component meeting and there's votes for leadership, everybody kind of dips their head down and closes their eyes and hopes that nobody will look at them. But maybe what's some advice for those who are maybe thinking, maybe on the fence about serving in a leadership position?
I think the biggest thing is create your own expectations. I think people dip their head or cover their eyes because they have this preconceived notion of what a treasurer does or what a president does. And as the president or the treasurer, you can kind of write your own way. Obviously, there are some things that need to be done, but don't let other people's expectation or what you think should be done impact what you can offer. It can be as much or as little as you can handle. I think that's one thing that people shy away from getting involved is because they think that it's supposed to look a certain way and it doesn't have to. And I mean, yeah, that's at least for me. Like, comparison destroys joy and it destroys opportunities to make things better. And if you're comparing yourself to the past president or who's going to come in the future, you're just, you know, you're not giving yourself an opportunity to learn and grow and have an impact or receive a change in your life. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you feel like it was a good resume builder? Has anybody been like, oh, you served as president. That is pretty cool. Tell me a little bit more about it. You know, as a job finding tool or.
I haven't had really experience as a job finding tool with my presidency, but more so as I hobnob with students and they ask me about being a component president or being involved in leadership roles as far as ADHA is concerned, I think I have had more traction with that. Just showing that it doesn't have to be a 20-hour work week being a component president. It can be something that just enriches your own hygiene life and it enriches those of your colleagues. And I've had a lot of great networking opportunities because of my component presidency. And for the region that I live in, where there are multiple dental hygiene schools, I really valued the opportunity to bridge, connect between different hygiene schools and build relationships with people who have other affiliations than my own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely like the network aspect. Every time I go to a local component meeting, I feel like it gives you the opportunity to meet other hygienists around you, what's working for them. And also, you know, if you find yourself in a position where you're needing to temp or you're needing to find employment, you have a pool to pull from. So not always did you work in an area that you graduated from. And so sometimes it's important to have that little bit of a network to be able to find what you need sometimes.
Agreed.
Any other thoughts on being the component president that you wanted to mention?
It's not scary. It's not scary. And yeah, at the local level. What my experience has been is at the local level, and it's not scary. And it was really, I had a really good team. So, I mean, you can make it what you want it to be. So
maybe one last question too is, how do you get more people involved? I know there's some components that are really small and some that are really big. And so how did you get more hygienists to come out and be supportive of the component?
Find out who's getting audited.
There you go. Is there a list somewhere you could really get?
I have no idea, but Facebook definitely blew up and was like, I'm getting out of it. What do I do? Yeah. And so I think there's always that pressure, which is funny to me, because if you are continually involved with your component, you will never worry about not having documentation or not having the CE credits that you need in order to validate your continuing education for auditing. Anyway, but as far as for us, there is a list that goes out. We didn't do much with that. It was more word of mouth. Word of mouth. And creating opportunities for CEs that are interesting and applicable to your practice every day.
Mm-hmm. In finding speakers, I'm assuming you just ask them to do it kind of for free as you guys are searching
A lot of people will sponsor a CE if they have a product that they're talking about or.
So you usually also have to find a sponsor as well, usually for the CEs, sending out emails or.
Not necessarily. A lot of the times the speakers were the sponsors as well, or we used some of our funding to buy a treat. We didn't really always have to be sponsored, but we never paid anybody to come to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's unusual, but it wasn't for us.
Yeah. So it makes it easier to find people.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. We have appreciated hearing from you today.
Thank you, Shelley.
It's always fun to hear from Jessica. And thank you to our podcast listeners. So join us next time to keep that edge on your dental hygiene career.